Welcome back at the Artist Coaching Podcast with yours
truly. Hey, amigos.
Amigos. Arriba, arriba.
Took us 13 minutes to figure out the connection issues, but we made it.
Yeah, Ralph, like...
yeah, I have KPN. It's a Dutch brand. It's supposed to be actually quality shit because it's also the most expensive one. And it just
it isn't anymore.
Sucks.
Like KPN is $30 for fiber internet as these days.
Yeah.
I have them at home. They're pretty good.
No, they're not pretty good. I have it right here and it just sucks big time.
Down below the rivers, it sucks. Above the river is amazing.
But do you work on Wi-Fi or do you work...
I do get it though, because all the people above the river, they're just having fucked up lives and they need good internet.
Well, at least we don't have like those new killer wasps that came from the Asia.
What? Killer wasps?
Killer
no,
wasps?
Apparently there's this killer wasp thing now in Holland, and in the south of Holland they cannot return, like how do you say, turn back how much there are already, like the Asiatische Horna or something.
But do they seriously kill you, or is it more like
yeah. No, but they're just huge and
they come at you with a stiletto knife.
I mean, if a lot of them attack you, that's,
give me your fucking phone, man.
Very dangerous. Asiatische Horna.
Give me your money.
Asiatische Horna. It's a horny, bee.
It's just, wait. Oh, they kill also bees. That's what's
hey, you had to kill a bees. Wu-Tang Clan. Kill I think bee. I make a bridge to music.
I saw a lot of...
He kills flies and bees. That's
okay,
not good.
And that's the problem. So that our ecosystem is getting screwed.
Yeah, that's... But it's one of those articles, and then they say, but we don't need to worry that much yet. That's now what I'm reading.
We're all going to die!
What? No, we don't.
We don't have to worry that much.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, good story, bro.
Good story, bro. Thanks for the info.
I stay updated. I read the news for this podcast, you know. I talk about wasps.
Yeah, but what news? Is this like the UFOsightings.com news of...
No, nude.nl.
Tinfoilhat.com.
No, it was actually in the main Dutch news.
Whoppy.
So, I mean, that's what we're worried about, you know?
Okay.
In other news, Grimes played again at Coachella.
Again?
And
is it two
she
weekends?
Made fun of herself by starting the intro with like snippets from the first show.
Okay,
that's funny.
So
that's that's like she's a good sport, but then in her show apparently she fucked up again.
No, but that kind of feels staged, if you ask me.
No, but she really like did a small fuck up again. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it was like she screamed again in the mic, and she was again like, so yeah, a bit weird, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I wouldn't buy tickets real quick, to be honest.
Same.
That feels really staged, if you'd ask me. Like it's a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that it happens twice, right?
But do we as fans or people want to be like, how do you say, voor de gek gehouden? Do we want
fooled?
The illusion?
Get fooled?
Yeah. We know of a lot of people, they don't write their own lyrics or whatever. Is it, do we want the real real deal?
No,
or
we
want
to get fooled
red
all the time.
Why, that's do we actually...
love, why do we love movies so much? It's because we want to get fooled about a world that doesn't exist.
Dude. This
fooled.
Is a perfect hook because this was on my news
course.
List. Have you watched the whole Ryan Garcia fight? Do you know
yes.
what that's about?
Yeah,
I've
yeah,
seen it on
saw...
Twitter, but I don't watch that. That's
okay.
He's like a YouTuber, right, or not?
I have no clue what he is, but
he's
like if you look at him, if you look at him from a social media standpoint, if you follow him, this guy's a crazy maniac, as in he's just wacko in every kind of way. That's how he presents himself. So online. Now, last week when he won that game, where he bet $2 million on himself, to be like fair, like that's pretty ballsy, to be honest.
Skin in the game.
But he won, and after that, after winning the title, he gave a speech. Did you saw that speech?
Didn't see the speech, but I do know what was happening before. in the towards this fight, he was acting like a conspiracy theorist,
like a crazy guy.
Yeah, like he went totally off the normal path, yeah. And like,
yeah, and everyone started talking about it, and everybody had his opinions ready about this wacko tiny dude who was definitely not going to win the match, and he ended up winning, and then he kind of became super serious and said, like, you all thought I was crazy, you know, like, I fooled you. You know, this is how the world works right now. You consume content, you get an opinion about me, but this is not me, you know, I fooled you guys, like, just to give an idea of how the rest of the world is fooling you as well. And that's where I wanted to make the connection, as in the red pill, blue pill. Like, do we want to be fooled? Like, are we kind of programmed to go for the entertaining version instead of the real version?
Yes, I think so. I think so. That's why I said, that's why we love movies, you know, because it's not real. It's like, it's all romanticized and violence
it is real.
Cool and
no, it's all real. All the themes are real, man. Good, evil, all that kind of shit.
Is it?
Well, if you look at like...
I still think The Matrix really happened. I mean,
a lot of like,
Andrew Tate.
Romantic comedies, they're so never how it would happen. And some
it's totally
people
my life, man.
Yet expect that kind of situations to happen like in real life, you know? A lot of 20-year-olds that think like, oh, that's how love is supposed to feel. That's how love is supposed to work. Well, it's doesn't have anything to do with reality. I think that's why you watch a movie, is to like kind of get fooled and know you get fooled, but in a good way. It just gives you a good feeling, and that's why I think a lot of conspiracy theories are just so, they're just very interesting, and like, ooh, you kind of wish it was true in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's kind of more to it than you
thought.
But
the stories are told because they have such a low probability of happening. That's why it's a cool story. Nobody, if you just jump up 1 meter, which is pretty normal, everybody will be like, hey, he jumped 1 meter, but who cares? But if somebody jumps 3 meters, everybody will be like, damn, that dude can jump really high. And that's when the story gets told.
Yeah, and then when you see someone that jumps 6 meters, which isn't physically possible, you're like, hey, that's wow. And then you kind of want to believe that it's possible, so you want to get that kind
of. Doesn't this have to do with the fact that we humans, we kind of buy into stories? That's how we live. We love stories, and it's actually there's a book again.
Oh, he comes again with
the books.
Oh man,
he doesn't
big
do that
nerd
in the podcast too often. He doesn't
same
do
as ever. This is a recommendation, same as ever. This is about a guide to what never changes in the world. And one of the things that's in the book, which I really like, is the best story wins. So this goes down to marketing, right? Marketing is nothing else than telling stories. And this also has to do with being an artist, you know? Like Fred, again, his story is a pretty good story.
What's the story?
What's the story? Just, first he was Fred.
He's just, and then again, and again, and again. But he's just like an average Joe kind of guy. He could be your neighbor who doesn't look like a superstar. He doesn't act like a superstar.
Huh? I have news. Fred again is actually my neighbor. He lives in Bad Hoeverdorp.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Fred. There he is again. Hey, Fred.
I think I've seen Fred again. Yeah, because he's your neighbor, you dumbass.
Yeah,
exactly. No, but more like the story of Fred is more like I'm just a regular guy loving my life, and I happen to make good music, and I don't care about the fandom and the famousness. And that's what people buy into, because we like people who are down to earth, who don't show off. Like, we appreciate the authenticity.
Do we? Because most of the people, I mean, he's like a breath of fresh air, and most of them are like way over
there.
The top people.
Yeah.
And
but I think we also kind of go to cycles with that, as in we've been in the past few years, we kind of wanted to have that fakeness. We wanted the fakeness, like the Kylie Jenners and the type of people that...
Oh man, that's the Kardashians, right?
Yeah, the Kardashians.
Oh yeah.
And now I kind of feel like the it's shifting towards we're looking for authentic people, and we want to hear stories of real people with real life stories, with real experience,
and real skills. And I think it might give the sensation of that, like that it's possible, you mm-hmm. know, like the mm-hmm. underdog feeling of like, wow, if he can do it, so can I, kind of.
Yeah,
feeling.
And the Fred again story is the underdog story.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the guy who, on the surface, never had a chance.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is there's this thing happening now in golf.
Oh, man.
He found his
seriously,
angle.
Seriously, no, this has to do with this subject. So Scottie Scheffler at the moment is winning every tournament. He is like the best golfer maybe the world has ever seen.
Scottie Scheffler?
Like, Scottie Scheffler. But he's like, he's so good that people are a bit bored by it. He's winning, but it's like, yeah, of course he's winning, you know, because he's playing almost like kind of perfect golf.
Like Max Verstappen.
And then people compare him to Tiger Woods. And then they say, yeah, well, it's not the same. And I kind of agree, because Tiger Woods was the story of this young kid who grew up not rich, and he didn't have a chance, you know? Mm-hmm. And the thing with Tiger Woods' golf was also that it was like, sometimes he would shoot a ball like badly, but then the hero shot out of that situation would make him win the tournament, for example. And that's also, that story is way more appealing for people than some guy who is so good that he keeps winning. Definitely I think there has to be some kind of a story to that. And that's also with, like, I think Martin Garrix is a good example of that. Like, wow, he's 15 years old,
it's a great
from
story.
His attic, so it is possible. It is possible with Fruity Loops too. And not kind of realizing that Martin Garrix is a huge talent, you know. It doesn't just happen to anyone.
Ralph, dude.
Oh no, Ralph!
Your mic popped out.
Fucking mic.
Yeah,
why?
Leave it. You can't do it. Change it right now. What would Ralph's story be? Like, there's hope for 40-year-old people? Oh, now your mic's not working.
No, I can't hear him at all. You're muted.
You're muted, yeah. Yeah, you're back.
Hello?
Boomer.
You guys suck. Who's 40 here, by the way?
You. 41? 42? Anyway, I really like that part in the book, as in, it really reminded me about the fact that you need to tell a story as an artist. You know, you need to figure out, what's my angle here? What's the thing that people can resonate with? And it can be as
Jesus Christ. But also, sometimes, I agree, Joey, but sometimes the story writes itself. Also important to realize.
Okay, so how does that go?
Yeah, like in the case of Martin Garrix is a good example again. It's like he just made music, and he just like was his personality that, he didn't think about, hey, I this is my story. It was just kind of happens. There is a story there.
It was an authentic story, so it wasn't thought of. It just happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I kind of think that with Fred again as well, I'm not that familiar with his story, but I kind of feel like that's the same story. It just happened authentically.
If we say Fred again now, my head is trying to come up with word jokes of Fred again. It's very
late. And again. Yeah.
Hey, good story.
We have a good example. Hey, what about Fred again?
No.
Every podcast. Hey,
did Fred. You guys, a few weeks ago, we talked about, what's that rapper called again? Ronnie Flex, who kind of started fighting against his label.
Yeah.
This week, another news item came on Dutch news platforms, which said that Dutch artists are angry because people are using their voices for AI songs with tools like Suno and stuff.
Okay, yeah, we actually had a discussion about this in the studio.
Okay, What was the James Hype thing?
Well, he used Jodeci vocals to upload them in Audemy.
We talked about this last week in the podcast.
And he claims that Audemy just listens to it and just analyzes it and then recreates a new voice. But yeah, it's slippery slope because he uploads the master of Jodeci.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the discussion starts. Is it allowed or not? In my opinion, I would be not offended, but yeah, if you wouldn't use my master outtakes to recreate something with AI, yeah, just don't. Don't use my master. Just recreate something.
You know, last week I was pretty impressed on 538, the biggest Dutch radio station. They remade Europapa from Joost Klein. He's entering the Eurovision Song Festival with that number. He's doing pretty well, actually.
I like the song as well.
Yeah, me too. But they uploaded that song to Suno, and they said, remake a version in bluff style, you know, like kind of acoustic Dutch song.
Terrible music.
And it was insane. Like, it was, if it was being released like that by Bluff, I would definitely, that's a hit. And then they made a version of, like, a remix, let's say, Europapa in the style of, what's that old band? Like Led Zeppelin and stuff.
Huh?
Insane how on point it was, like with the lyrics, with everything, the timing of everything. It's just insane what it does.
Yeah, it analyzes, but still analyzes the true music.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
where the point is, you know? That's what, yeah. Is that allowed or not? Yeah.
Wasn't this where the actors in Hollywood...
yeah, the voice actors.
Yeah, no, the whole Hollywood was shut down, like a few months ago.
That was about movie royalties and stuff, right?
Yeah, movie royalties, but also about them being used as AI, and where they had to sign contracts before they entered a deal for a show, that they could their image and likelihood or whatever and voices could be used to make it into an AI model, which I know they sometimes for shows, which is quite amazing. They, like, let's say someone says shit and you can't say shit in the PG whatever version, they can change your mouth and stuff, you know, they can change everything about how you say it and your voice without needing you to come in to record a new version.
Wait, I want to show you guys something, because talking about like what AI can do
but I think actors in Hollywood must be facing the same problem, where I think in 20 years, you just say, hey, I want to see Lord of the Rings, but I want Harry Potter as the main character.
Yeah.
And probably there's some AI generator that can do that.
Okay.
That's quite scary if you're an actor. If
here's
you can
something
generate
for you guys.
Movies.
Can you see my screen?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, check this.
My tea's gone cold, I'm open, but I got it's not too bad. The morning rain clouds up my window. And I can't see at all. And even if I could, it'd all be grey. But your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad, so bad. It's not so bad.
That's sick, right?
That's amazing.
But just imagine, like, right now it looks a little bit clunky, but like in 6 months from now this looks perfect.
Mm.
So just imagine how sick that is going to become. Like, you can just implement faces and change music, change backgrounds. Like, it's going to get weird real quick.
And then you get back to the thing, is this real or not? That will be the real question.
True. But
we're
I do think
get fooled
that...
so much, man.
Yeah, but I do think that blockchain will be a big answer to that, as in that's where you can verify. So I think as soon as you start to connect your, let's say, social profiles to your wallet, to your blockchain wallet, and all the stuff you're going to post comes from that wallet, so you can always verify, is this the original one?
This is the problem.
Yeah, nobody will do
this
it.
This is the problem. If there's a political thing and they create a fake video of some political leader saying something, it sets a tone, it does something. When you see it right away, you feel something, it's already too late. You can then say, no, it was a fake video, but that feeling, that's already there. That's the real danger, I think, because image is just, video is just so fast to, it triggers a feeling. And that's probably the danger.
What's this?
Me.
Is that you?
Yeah, haven't you seen the clip? I mean, it's also clunky.
I don't see it.
Yeah, it's an image of me. Have you never seen this one?
No.
Okay.
What? You made it yourself?
Yeah, Marlon did it. And it's of the artwork of Traffic. It's me in my yellow sweater. And he just cut it out. Real simple. Put it in. You can find this. You have loads of this clip online. And then I was on stage. It was a cool gig, man.
It's going to get real, real weird real quick.
It's going to get weird. But for your marketing game, you can do quite a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, that's true. And I do get why those Dutch singers and songwriters are mad, you know. But the problem is, what's the solution here? Like, it's not like you're going to stop this anytime soon.
That's the real question. I don't see any real solution for people using the stuff.
Not on the short term, though. Like, I do believe on the long term there's a solution, but that needs to be built. So that's going to take at least a couple of years before those things will be ready.
Is restricting people from sharing whatever they want?
Well, long term is obviously like law enforcement, as in having laws about
so
this.
Restricting people in what they can and can't.
If they use your name, like, let's say, in your face for the wrong purposes, like, yeah, sure, there should be repercussions for that. But at the same time, like, technically, there are solutions. It's just that it needs to be implemented in certain platforms, like X or like Instagram or like whatever. Like, right now, it's that little blue check mark that's supposed to mean that something is verified, yes or no. But
yeah, Twitter ruined that. Actually.
You can buy a check mark.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
So why
Twitter ruined
it,
that.
The whole verification part of things is gone.
Yeah.
But as
Twitter,
soon as
have you been on Twitter lately?
Yeah, I'm a lot on Twitter.
It's a terrible, terrible platform.
I love it.
It's terrible. It's like one-way traffic. People don't really. It's just there's all these. Atrocious. It's just horrible. There's an atrocious content on there.
I get a lot of information from there, but more about like.
But it's horrible. Also, the other side. It's like,
yeah,
these left wing and right wing people who are actually totally the same, but on the other side of the spectrum, holding the world in balance, so to say. And it's just what Jobke says: the right people on the people on the right say this, and the left people say this, and. Man, they just don't even listen to each other.
No.
Makes me sick.
Hey,
but,
same as ever. That's nothing. Never gonna change.
No. It's always the same.
People who disagree about certain things will most likely forever disagree, and that's the problem.
It wasn't that. Also, have you seen Lost? That was what Lost was about. You had essentially it was on the island. You had the bad guy and the good guy. And the bad guy said, it's humans, it always ends the same. And they fight, they pollute, they do. But the other one said, it only ends once. And he said, they will come to terms with themselves, they will become good.
I never saw it. Did they get off the island?
Spoiler alert.
No,
Nobody knows, man.
I've seen a couple of episodes, but
yeah,
I'm not
I've
sure
seen
why.
Something. But I've also seen.
It started
some...
out really great, and then it went just.
Have you guys watched The Gentleman on Netflix?
Yep,
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. I like that it's the same kind of humor that Guy Ritchie has in his movies, and
like Snatch and stuff. I love it.
Yeah, it's really
I haven't
good.
Seen it yet. I did see Fallout, and I loved it.
Fallout is so good. I'm into episode 5 now, I think.
I watched that thing like really fast.
Yeah, but did you play the game before as well?
No.
Okay. Well, that's then it's extra cool. Then there's extra little like Easter eggs, so to say.
It was a cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro. Thanks. Hey,
Jonathan Nolan, man, the guy who made Westworld as well. Of season one was amazing.
Talking about a cool season one, and man.
Yeah, the rest was terrible. But season one of Westworld is, in my eyes, perfect. And then they really ruined it.
Yeah, that was really cool. But it's always the story with the mysterious stuff. You don't want to know what the mysterious stuff. You just want to.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Man, the biggest miss was fucking Game of Thrones, man.
Never seen it. Never seen
it. It was beautiful up until the Night King came. And that stupid episode.
Still sick of it.
Man, it was so bad.
Butchered it.
I love that main actress from Game of Thrones, where she goes like she gets like interviewed somewhere at some gala, and she's like, "What do you think of the last season?" And you see her like, "Best season ever." And then like the way she's, what's her name? Like the main actress from that,
the blonde girl.
The one with the eyebrows.
with the eyebrows.
Yeah, what's her name? She's very famous from Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, the one with the eyebrows. But does she also have ears and a nose?
No, but like she has crazy eyebrows. Oh,
there's a Google search to Game of Thrones eyebrow girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Which one is it? It's Emily Clark.
Emily Clark, yeah. Oh, the way she says it.
Also, we say best, the hot girl.
Yeah.
Best season ever. It's really funny.
Hey, guys, I've got a question.
It's always funny. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I just think it's always funny when actors don't like their own movie where they're in. And you can kind of tell by the whole marketing interviews.
The body language, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We've got a few questions.
If every artist likes their own music, some tracks just don't work. I mean, I have those tracks in mind of ourselves.
Which you don't like, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, which is the one?
Oh, yeah, to look it up.
Like, if you listen to it, you're like...
Which one isn't? Oh, yeah, when we did the album, there was some stuff on there that I'm like...
Did you do an album?
Yeah, the biggest. Thanks, man. You're
albums
a big fan.
And dance music. That,
that went
really...
under the radar.
Yeah, but albums and dance music, you know, like...
When did you do an album?
It's cool. No. It's cool.
It's cool
we did Disco Dancer. Yeah, shouldn't have done that song. Didn't like it so much.
Afterwards, like after releasing it.
Yeah, you know, you love something and then you plan it in. And... You just let it be released. I don't know why. But just it wasn't a good one.
You just lose the connection with it along the way.
Yeah.
That sometimes happens when you're just working also for hours on a project and you kind of lose why you like it in the first place.
Or like overheard or something, like you heard it too much.
I mean, you have to imagine before release, you've heard it... What, 1,000 times maybe or more? I don't know. Just so
no,
much.
No, but that one, we did We Ride, which was a little bit poppy. And man, also before it got released, the weeks up front, I was like, shit, man, I don't even like this. And then you don't also know how to plug it and you just don't want to say the name. And
but sometimes those tracks become the hits, you know? That's the, you never know.
That's what everybody then. Keeps telling you, but still, it's like the, you know, we also have this stupid obsession with our feed on Instagram or TikTok.
Feed?
Whereas nobody consumes your TikTok like looking at the total feed. We just consume like this with our thumb and we go blah, blah, blah. But still, if I look at our own profile, I'm still obsessed with all the stories there, but it just doesn't matter. It's also
it
with the tracks you put out.
It does matter, I think.
Why
does it
matter?
If you're going to search for an artist and you go to their profile, which you do sometimes, maybe, hey, who are those guys? And then you kind of scroll through it and you see kind of from the onlook, like, what are they doing a little bit? And then you click some of the videos. So it's like, it definitely matters, but maybe not in the way that you think that it should look all very organized or whatever, but it should just have this...
Yeah,
thing
but
that you
it
can
doesn't matter if you want to go viral, you can better post something 10 times than one time. And if you go viral on the 9th time, hey, mission accomplished. Everybody sees you.
So why do you think it's important that your profile is so, let's say, perfect, Jay?
It shouldn't be perfect,
Jay.
But you should kind of get a clue of like, what is this guy doing? If I go to this profile, you're kind of like,
if you post about that comes down to what you post about. So if you mainly post about shows and production or whatever, like it doesn't matter what post they click on because it's all your brand, let's say, which is
But I mean, like, there must be some kind of a, you're looking at it and you're just like, hey, this gives me the.
But it's also not
if
that
I only
I say,
post studio videos. Post... People are gonna scroll through my profile and see like, oh, this guy doesn't tour. He's only in the studio.
Do you really think that's what they think? Like, oh, this guy doesn't tour? That's the first thing they think?
Not that I'm saying, but I'm saying if you only post studio videos, you're like,
sure.
You don't think that guy tours.
No,
you
sure.
You think like, oh, he's some studio producer and he does live streams or whatever.
Yeah, so you should balance out. You should really consider what you post, as in the thing that you put out.
That's always, you should always consider what you post. Eh? You have these things you can post, okay? Touring, making music.
It should reflect your brand. So it should reflect what you want to present as a brand.
But then it doesn't matter if you post 10, 100 or 300 things a month.
True.
And because it's all on brand. I mean, I'm not forcing you to post puppies with your music underneath it. That would be weird.
Dancing puppies.
Woof, woof. Although Pedro with the raccoon, they do really well. Pedro.
I don't know what kind of algorithm you have. But...
Dude, it's in the top 50 of Spotify.
Guys. This
you
is
guys,
why,
you need to. You're such boomers, man.
This is such a changing thing in life. I can have a video that I know is going viral because I see it everywhere, and then you guys don't know at all what I'm talking
about.
This would have never occurred 20 years ago.
No, because
change my mind.
Algorithms.
No, but it's. I mean, maybe you guys just have bad taste or don't know what's really going on in the world. But Pedro is also a hit, and. Let me put on the magic glasses because.
No, but I do think
I have
this
to see
also,
through all the fucking Taylor Swift in the top 50.
This is a big change in how, as a society, we consume media.
Pedro is now 34.
An artist, and Ralph doesn't care at all.
No,
we don't care about Pedro. We don't care about Pedro.
You should care about Pedro. That's the thing. It's happening,
like,
man. You need to know.
Who is famous in your eyes, Ralph, is maybe not at all famous, or I might not even know this person.
I know, because I don't know that stupid golfer you were talking about.
I'm not saying Pedro good or bad. I'm saying this is a new thing where I think 20 years ago, if someone was famous, there were like, he was actually famous in most of the, like the general public. And now it's like, hey, that guy's very famous. But then
I don't think
not everybody knows him.
No. There's also general happening and
way less.
No, but Pedro is 34, whereas fucking Taylor Swift, she has like 30 of the or 50 tracks in the top 50, so Pedro is basically top 10. I mean, we did the Artemas bootleg real soon. A lot of people play it. For us it's kind of important to stay updated so we can hop on stuff that's actually happening and people are interacting with. I mean, Armin van Buuren, Hartwell, I don't know who more. They all played it at Ultra. Hey, people see our brand. It's cool. It's Artemas. If you do it, let's say, Bamboleo, for instance. Yeah, it's not so happening. And you can stay in your own little boomer bubble, but it's not going to help you. You want to be up to date. It's music.
I'm saying we're all living in our own bubbles.
That always has been like that.
Not as extreme as now.
That's true.
Everybody has their own algorithm.
Music, you should know what's happening in the top 10 of the world. You shouldn't
know
every
track. Difficult.
Huh?
That's way more difficult these days.
It's a quick world, but yeah, you have to be quicker. That's what it's hard nowadays.
Yeah, the tempo is just a lot higher. That's it.
But it's not per se always a bubble thing. And of course, if my algorithm is my algorithm, then I think like, whoa, and there's no other music than hard techno, for instance. But I know there is. But some stuff is just, you see like a hype, you follow the hype. Can I do something cool with it? Nowadays, for your marketing, for your brand, it's pretty important. Because especially when it's a track like Artemas, it became number one in the world. And I love the song. How many times is the song you like is a number one hit, and you can remix it? That doesn't happen all the time. You gotta be aware of the chances that are happening around you.
Is it an official remix?
No. I would like to, but I'm happy with all the support. It's kind of hard also nowadays to get support on your tracks. Eh? We discussed it. Not everybody in their ultra sets. Yeah, you only play an hour. You want to highlight your own music, and then there's just this little room for other people's music. And the best way is then to remix something that's cool, because everybody wants to play the current hit. And if you're one of the first to move on it, gives you just a first mover advantage.
Yeah, but that also never changed, right? That has been the case 10 years ago as well. It's just that what Jay means, I think, is that the tempo of things switching. So right now it might be Pedro, but next week it's someone else.
I gotta say, I passed also on the stupid Pedro song, but it's seriously catchy. But I couldn't hear anything than a stupid hyper techno track on it, and I don't like that so much.
Now I'm just curious. What's the guy's name? Pedro?
the Pedro one.
What's Pedro?
Pedro.
And then?
No, the song name. Song name. It says Jacomi and Agostino Romero. There you go, man. Yeah, the chorus line still has to come.
Is this the drop?
No, it goes Pedro, 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 Pedro. Here it comes.
It has a very high meme-ish kind of thing.
Dude, it is meme, because also what you saw on TikTok was this raccoon in a circle going round. And that's it.
What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah.
What kind of world do we live in, man? Like, oh shit.
I know, but still, that's what's happening out there. And I mean, Pedro is just an example, but it's really important nowadays to be on top of all the stuff that's happening, because when something's actually happening or actually gaining traction, and when it fits your brand and you can hop on it, and make sure you'll be one of the first ones to act on it.
Yeah, but that's something that never changed, as in that has been the case for many years, that if there's a trend and it fits your brand, you can jump on it, like do it. But
the thing is, some stuff is not in a bubble. Pedro is just like this meme. It's now in TikTok, like on a lot of algorithms. Plus, it enters the fucking Spotify top 50 when Taylor Swift, we also can talk about.
Go into a supermarket in Holland and ask about that. I think more people won't know about it. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's like there's way less
Taylor Swift,
like,
and people will go like, oh, isn't that the chick?
It's like there's just way less of a general kind of hype.
Like it depends on where you want to be aiming at. I mean, for me with the music, I like the new generation to know bass jiggers as well. If you want to aim at people on the street or in the Albert Einstein, guest.
I'm not at all putting it on your situation or my situation. I'm just, there's just way less of a, hey, this is who is famous and this is who isn't famous. It's just way
true. I get that. But I mean, hey, we can scratch everybody above 50 anyway, because they're not my target group anyway.
No, but it's just saying, like, it's just hard to get, like, now of a, also that status of, like, hey, I'm a well-known artist. What does that mean, a well-known artist? Is it that you're, for some smaller group, you're famous? Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between everybody knowing you on the street and you're famous amongst a certain TikTok crowd.
But that's always that has been the same case as well. Yeah. Like if I look at my career, for example, I was doing well, and within a certain crowd my name was was famous, you could say. But if I went out on the street, the regular person not listening to dance music didn't have a clue.
Hey, 9 out of 10 people don't even know the football club Arsenal, for that matter. They were, oh, Arsenal, hey, they're number one in the Premier League right now. They're a pretty big deal.
And there's only a couple of brands that everyone knows, like McDonald's, like
what?
Coca-Cola. Like maybe Messi even has also become such a brand which everyone knows.
Hey, but if you look at also the athletes, that also gives you kind of a cool look in how popular they are. But Messi and Ronaldo, man.
They're brands.
Hey, if you then look like Max Verstappen or Lewis Hamilton or that golfer guy Jopko talking right, about.
They came up right before social media was really big. So that's kind of proving my kind of point. I don't think we have another Messi real soon. That's what I'm...
Well, I think what's the guy's name? The YouTuber, the Mr. Beast. He's becoming pretty big.
Not Messi and Ronaldo big.
That's true.
No, but then if you look at Lewis Hamilton, who was pretty much excelling at his sports, Netflix, in the game, but he's like at maybe 40 million followers. I don't know what on Instagram.
Yeah, but this is not about followers, of course.
No, but still, Messi and Ronaldo are like 800 million. I don't know the exact numbers, but...
If you think about the Kardashians, they are a brand who built themselves through social media and who are worldwide known. Like, everyone knows the Kardashians.
True. Man, and Paris Hilton started with a sex tape.
Yeah, but you know, the sex tape is kind of the best way to gain attention, right?
Yeah, let's go.
The artist coaching sex tape.
Back on OnlyFans again. Hey, wow. Here we are.
41 minutes in and we're there again. Anyway, I'm just looking at viral hits here and I seriously don't recognize any of them. So it might tell a bit more about me as a boomer, but Pedro is on one though, so you're right.
Hey, Pedro, just freakingly boomers and I'm a millennial.
Nice. I agree. I also am less interested in what's happening out there, I guess.
That's because we're getting old. We just don't care. Kind of cut out the noise.
Yeah, you know, I think if you get older, especially if you have kids, you just realize you care about different things or way less things than you did before.
But then it's also important to stay on point because you want to also know what's happening in their lives.
True.
I mean, my dad was just here. I had to help him with his application, his subsidies, I don't know what. And he's clueless.
But you know, you can figure it out. What's happening in their lives is by listening to them.
Yeah, maybe. But still, hey, they don't share everything. It's also good to know what's out there and don't be too oblivious of all this stuff.
You're going to be the dad and then you're like your daughter's friend.
Yeah, man, I'm going to be...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. TikTok dance. I know about that series as well.
I posted that last week, like the Phil Dunphy clip. Like, I'm the cool dad, you know? Like, I'm on the internet.
I'll send you guys a funny TikTok about a guy who says, like, what not to do when you have teenagers. And it's the guy is very dry. I could show it on here, but that's weird, I think.
I can show it. Let me, if you send it to me, I'll share
it. I'll
my
send
screen.
It to you.
Yeah.
Pedro.
And I see how Ralph just is become that. Yeah, did you guys also see that
Ralph
that series?
Dolphins. He's going to be the cool dad.
The cool dad who isn't cool and like, but that's, I think we are going to be, but
probably like I'm the guy telling people about NFTs when I'm 50. Let's see. Here we go.
Some more you shouldn't do if you're teenagers. Okay, first is bring out a platter of food when they have friends over. This is trying way too hard and it's coming off as kind of desperate. All right, next is talking to your kid's friend if you're driving them somewhere in the car. Don't say hello or acknowledge them in any way. Careful if you look in the rearview mirror because they might think you're glancing at them. Remember, you're just an anonymous Uber driver. Next. Kids see you run. I don't care how hard it's raining or if you're trying to catch an airport shuttle. Seeing this will damage them more than looking at the eclipse. And obviously, if you trip and fall, they're going to need a lot of therapy. Smiling at a baby. This is super creepy. Literally, stop. Okay, last is bringing your sporting event. This draws too much attention to yourself. So either sit in the bleachers or stand, despite the crippling back pain that causes.
He's taking a piss, right?
Yeah,
he's
a little bit. It's like very dry. So I like it.
I like it though. Yo, let's go
smile
to the questions.
Baby. It's just creepy.
Just stop.
Okay, question from Renzo. Do you guys do you guys have any technique like meditation or exercise to get yourself to finish a
what? To finish yourself? Joey.
I wrote something wrong and then it just got me. Yeah.
Well, there's one called the Tornado Smasher, and you.
No, but do you kind of, if you have a writer's block, is there anything you do to get out of it? Or do you just fight through it?
Yeah, you fight through it. I don't know what's so funny, man.
Just fight through it, as in remain in the studio and keep going. That's it. No, no meditation, no self-releasing, nothing.
I do some self-releasing, well, yeah.
This is no one has the cure for that. No one has the answer.
Back to anything.
In general, you should be working out. I think you should stay healthy. Do something else that takes your mind off of your job or whatever you're trying to.
Yeah, or the project that you're stuck in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
there's no fix for this. You like, that's why you kind of need to just sit through it. It's just,
I think there's multiple fixes, different ways. It just depends on what works.
NFTs.
No, there's just some people.
Oh, the blockchain can help here. But the technique is just not ready.
There's people who actually say that you have to leave the studio and go outside, touch some.
Never leave the studio.
Bye, man. Gotcha. Hey.
Lock yourself in.
And there's people who say just push through it. So I think you should try a few different things for yourself and see what works. Because
there's always
something
to do. Start arranging a track. I don't know what. It doesn't have to be all technical all the time. Or you do want to go into the techniques, mixing, mastering. I don't know what. There's always, if you don't can find the melody, go back to an earlier project. I mean, there's always stuff to do. I know nobody who's working on one project only. Like, I don't can get this melody right, but I have to get this melody right. Start something new. And
fully agree with Ralph.
And also, because then you're working on something different, and then you go like, oh, shit, what I was doing in that previous project, that would help here. And then you make a mess of it, and then you get even more lost. And then anyway. You should call Joey. He can help you.
Yeah. I noticed that Ralph was signed to David Gordini from UTA, and I have a few questions about this. This is him, by the way. To get signed to UTA, did Ralph...
Gordoni.
This is Dave?
Yeah, David Gordoni.
And he asked, it's David himself.
I don't know.
That's
did
what
Ralph
you said.
This is him.
And this is him.
Then,
hey, David. Hey.
No, like the guy who asks, his name is him.
Wow.
Oh, him. Ah,
yeah, that's confusing.
Oh, dude.
I'm him.
That's confusing. Man.
That's the biggest I'm him flex I've ever heard.
Yeah. And it's him.
Did Ralph reach out directly to David, or did he reach out to UTA, which then connected him with David, or was it UTA that approached him?
It was actually our Dutch agency, Ace Agency, who contacted UTA.
Okay. Follow-up question. Since Ralph aspires to play at Ultra Miami, fact, has he ever asked David to make a pitch? And if not, is there a specific reason why they've never tried?
No, yeah, we asked him, but Ultra is pretty hard to come into. I mean, you have all these stages.
Joey, stop. Come on.
Yeah, dude. Is it really the come into?
No.
Yeah, that's why he started laughing.
Yeah. No, but they all have these different brands of stages. I think they only program three or four themselves. They have different genres of music. What we do only applies to a few spots, and there's a lot of competition. We always ask for Gordoni to pitch, I think for us to re-enter the ultra stage again, I mean, we also do a lot on Tomorrowland, with which we have good contacts. They also look at the lineups, kind of also limits your possibilities for the other big festivals, unless you're like Tiesto or Guetta. Yeah, that's how it works, basically. I think we need a really big hit or something to re-enter Ultra. We have to be higher in the ladder. Are you again laughing, Joey?
No, it's more like, who doesn't? You know, like, everyone needs a big hit.
I just need that one big hit.
Yeah, no, but the question is valid because you do play other big stages on other big festivals.
True.
But there's also, they look at each other and it's just the select few that are programmed at each of the festivals. They're big enough or relevant at that point.
Follow-up question for Jobke. What percentage of your bookings are initiated by your agents and approaching promoters, fierce promoters approaching their agents? So what percentage is like actively booked by your agent and which ones just come in?
Ooh, there's like way more that's actively being booked.
So I think that's need like to push it.
We checked this in 2018 or 17, which was one of my best years. And I think it was like 80% was by being brought in by the agency.
So actively selling, you could say.
Yeah, yeah. So actively like having connections.
Yeah, but that was what the agency was telling you back then, because we also had the same conversation. We're at the same agency, so it will probably be like 50-50.
Yeah, well.
You didn't get that answer from an honest broker, so to say. You got it from the agency itself. They have a motive to say that it was them, you know? They want to be paid.
That's your take on that. I mean, I do think these days it's maybe even 90 to 10. I think it's really important that someone is actively pushing you and connecting you to the right.
There's just so much to choose from now.
Yeah.
Is it different with you, Ralph? Like, is there more bookings coming in?
No, it's nowadays, it's like Jobke says. And I mean, there are so many ways to stay top of mind. And whether it's you performing on social media or whatever, being smart about it. We also tag our agents in some of the posts we do so they can repost. And I mean, the agents are followed by a lot of promoters. And you want to be smart about it. And let people know that you're up to shit and doing, making some cool stuff and making waves with it. I mean, like for instance, we're having now, last weekend was for us a cool weekend because our remix got picked up by a lot of DJs. It's up to us now to let the world know. Apparently we're not doing a good job because you two were oblivious of the fact, but,
exactly.
I blocked you.
No, but go ahead.
Yeah, but that's the game, and you want to stay top of mind. It can also be the promoter calling somebody, hey, you know, Jobke is doing this and that, blah, 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 blah. And then he thinks, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Let's book him. And that's how it works.
I always say to artists, like, you need to collect ammunition for the promoter to shoot with, for your agent to shoot with. You know, like, they need to have something to sell you with.
To sell a story. They need a story.
Yeah, and the story is, hey, those guys are being supported by everyone. Maybe you should try them out.
Yeah, also I think people must realize that even if you do everything right, it still doesn't mean you get the gig. So it's like there's so many factors and timing that is there's so much things going on. And like Ralph said, there's so much to choose from now for promoters, and people who deliver the same quality for less of the price or whatever. There's just way less way more.
So the booker really matters, as in the quality of the booker really matters in your career at this point.
Everybody who's surrounding you has to be of good quality and know how to deliver.
Question from Josh, also relating to this topic. He says, I remember a long time ago, Joey's saying it's best to wait for the booking agent to approach you, which I still do believe. However, with some big label releases coming up in the next few months, festival gigs and other club shows around the world, I feel that now is a good time for me to approach one, maybe. organizing the gigs is taking a lot of my time and taking away the focus from music. What do you think?
I also think if you have some good numbers to present, then you should definitely, how do you say it?
What is the? You should really consider what the booker is going to add. So you should find a booker there where you're like, hey, this person can really expand my network. And through that person, I can reach those festivals.
So it's the network which makes it interesting.
That's it. But they do take like 20% of your shit. So yeah, that's also quite a thing. And you shouldn't also drop to, you should also stay active on getting gigs yourself. And I mean, they're not gonna, it's not like a button you press and it's on. No, it's a working relationship and it takes time to evolve. So you got to do what you always do, have them on board. But I also should, when it's going well, then you should go to a booker and drop your name. And hey, when it's going, maybe say no the first time, and then the second time when you're doing even better, then they will be like,
Yeah, when it's going well, it's also really easy to place you in festivals. You should also realize that. So then don't make a deal for like 5 years, but maybe like 2 or 3 or something. Don't make your deal too long, is what I would suggest. Okay. I mean, I've been with the same agent for 10 years, but
yeah.
But it wasn't a deal for 10 years. It's like you always need to reconsider your agent, the people you work with, constantly.
Yeah. Usually it's like minimum of 3 years.
Yeah.
And, two or three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What they don't want, and it will be also in a contract with a sunset clause or whatever. I mean, you have a working relationship. You make strategies with each other, how to conquer the world. And at some point, they don't want you to make success or build success together and then you leave for somebody else.
Yeah, because they're investing in you.
Well, definitely, because if you don't do enough bookings, you just cost them money.
Yeah, true. So hope this helps you, Josh. I think it definitely does. Thanks everyone for sending in the questions in the Discord. If you're not a part of the Discord yet, make sure to join the Artist Coaching community. You can find the Discord on the website artistcoaching.nl or in the bios of the Instagram pages and stuff.
Yeah, TikTok I also page. Want something to add.
Yeah.
Because we're wrapping it up, right?
Yep.
You can check out our SoundCloud. It's where the infamous Artemas bootleg is at, and you can download it for yourself for free.
Nice, Shiel. Are you Jobkin?
Okay. I have nothing.
Nothing?
I have nothing.
My latest track is still out. It's been out for 2 weeks, and that used to be a really short time, but these days it's I would already have to have my follow-up released next week. But it's going to be until May, I think.
That's actually an interesting topic for next time, because we do follow-ups every... sometimes 2 and sometimes 3 weeks. It's insane. So should
you follow up the next release within a couple of weeks?
Preferably, yes. But we'll,
okay. Let's talk about that next time. I think that's an interesting topic, because it also I noticed with a lot of artists they struggle to keep up with the pace, let's say. So
not Dave Guetta, he releases like a hit single every week.
Yeah, but he has like a team, right?
So that makes he's insane. Easy.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I had a good time again. And we will be back next week with same shitty mic of Ralph. And see you then.
I might surprise you guys.
Bye.
Bye.